Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we go now into your word, I'm asking, Father, for the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, and bring us the true revelation of this your word, and not the thoughts of man or man's opinion, but the truth that is here, Father, in your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This morning, we went through chapter 1. Because it was only 10 verses. And we come in through 9 verses of chapter 2 that we have started. Now, here in 1 John. So we'll be picking up this evening in chapter 2. And verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now, you know, he's letting you and I know there that he who truly loves, not one to say he does, but actually does, abideth in the light. That is the presence of God. He does not stumble, nor does he cause others to stumble. John stresses actions, not mere words. You see, he is wanting our true lives. Not just what we say and what we speak, but he is wanting the truth of the way we are living our lives. Now, 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. When he's talking about walking, he actually means live. So he's actually saying that, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and lives in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. You know, he habitually spends his life in darkness. That one that wants to walk in. And this darkness that he's talking about actually means sin. And for this binding effect, he's talking there of Satan and sin again. You see, Satan has got his way in and got him walking in his way. And that way is always the wrong way. And it is sin. Now 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. You know, John addresses different groups and assures them of their steadfastness in the truth, contrary to many of those with whom his letter must deal. Little children, fathers, young men, and so on, may refer to actual age groups, or it may have reference to spiritual maturity. Or level of responsibility in the fellowship, for example, to new Christians being children. And actually, it can be referring to both. Because when we, to that saving knowledge, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we start on our journey. We are children. There are places, actually, in the Word that calls us even babes, because we have very little knowledge and understanding of the Word of God and His commandments. They are things we have to learn and grow with and into. Now, 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, we're told not to love the world. And it is a command, implying that action now in progress must cease. Stop loving the world. There is, of course, one sense in which Christians should love the world, since God Himself did and does, but in the sense of pledging personal loyalty and devotion of one's whole being and means, Christians are to love God first and foremost. 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now there in 16, you know, John signifies the evil desire and sin so much a part of human existence. And he will be doing this all the way through this epistle, letting you and I know a lot of things that we have been taught that is wrong, that is actually contrary to the Word of Almighty God. And it's been done by mankind that has claimed to be children of God. All right. 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. You know, there in that verse, verse 18, in 17, John has stated that the present evil order of things is passing away, and this leads to his affirmation that it is the last time. We know that Antichrist appears in the whole New Testament, only here and in verse 22. He is the ultimate opponent of God, God's plan, and God's people. You know, presence of so much false teaching. John in class reminds believers of the constant threat posed by evil to believers, yet they need not fear. They need only be diligent and not slack. Now think about that. Now as we go into 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Some in the church, but that has now departed, were never really part of it. Here is a clear distinction between those who merely appear to be Christians based on outward afflictions and those who really are, whom the Lord knows and claims as his own. You see, there can be a lot that claim to be Christians that really are not even close. But it will all come out. Now, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Unction means an anointing. John refers to the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Yet Scripture does not suggest that God's Spirit works in hearts apart from God's Word. And it won't, no. This action then predisposes God's readers to recognize and respond to God's truth, but not to strive at it independently of the biblical and apostolic word. Had the reader been capable of knowing all things apart from written and spoken instructions, John would not need to have been written. If they had really known things, 1 John would never have had to be written. Because as we are studying, you are finding out that this 1 John is very, very, very hard and strict. And John is giving us the truth of the commandment of Almighty God and the way we are to live our lives to make heaven our home. Now, 21. I have not written to you, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth and the Son. You know, there in 22, John literally and where he is calling those liars, he is the epitome of a lying deceiver who claims to represent Christianity as John's opponent, you know, which were probably the Gnostics were doing, but who, according to Jesus Christ, less than his full due as Savior and co-equal partner with the Father. These should be sobering words for modern understanding of religion and Christianity, which deny Christ, his scriptural status, by making him less than fully divine. And right now we've got a lot of that going on around us. And it will gain as time goes on. Because time is growing short. And more shorter each day than what we actually realize. Before the Lord will be coming back for his church. And this church age that is covered by his blood will come to a close. All right, 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same has not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. You see, because God has chosen to reveal himself definitely in Christ, it is not possible to know God personally and truly without fully acknowledging Christ in the fullness of his power and being. Because you see, everything that we do and all is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even for you and I, to our Heavenly Father, is done in Jesus' name. We are told that in the Word of Almighty God. God himself tells us that. Now, there's a lot of things going on that we really don't want to realize and admit we know and see it around us. Because for you and I to stand fully on the Word of God and not give in takes boldness and courage. And then we must speak the truth of the Word of God. Now, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. You see, John exhorts his readers to persevere in the face of false teaching and believe And he emphasizes the readers in contrast to those who have gone out. You, therefore, let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. This word of Almighty God, the truth of it, is to abide in us. That is what we are to base our lives on and live by. Now, 25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. And we know that because we have come now all the way through the New Testament, and we have been told many times coming through about receiving eternal life and what it takes in order to gain it. 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. John makes it clear that much of his treatise have been called forth by opponents of Orthodox teaching. Now here in 27, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things and is true and is no liar, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. You know, in Ephesians 4:11-16 indicates that the Spirit often uses human instruments to fulfill his role of enabling believers to distinguish between truth and error. And in any case, it is the Word of God that furnishes the believer with knowledge, which the Spirit then makes relevant and applicable in the believer's life. You see, in all and the things we are to do for the Lord here on this earth, the anointing and the power we would need in order to complete that all comes through and by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Because you and I don't have that kind of power. Now, it's within us, yes, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit living in us if we be that born-again child of the living God. We're told that many, many times. But most really don't want to hear it. They want things their own way so they can go right on doing things they want to do that they shouldn't be doing. And yet they will still tell others that they are Christians. Now, 28. And now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming, wishing to please the Lord and not be ashamed before him at his coming, ought to motivate believers to stand firm, to abide in him. You see, that's why he abides in us and we are to abide in him. 29, this is the last verse of chapter 2. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And the idea seems to be that he who practices what is right, being born of God, need not fear Christ's coming. Spiritual rebirth is stressed in John also. Now, we are going to be getting in more into this rebirth and being reborn, God willing, come morning in our morning study. I do hope and I pray that you'll all be with me for that, because it is something that we all have to have and do, and we need to understand the truth and the way of it, because there is a lot of things being taught that is contrary to the right way. All right, we're going to stop here for the evening and go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word this evening, I thank you for it. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for each and every one that joins with me in this study. And I pray, Father, that they are receiving things from this study that they are using in their lives to make them stronger and closer to you, Father, each and every day. Now, Father, we pray for Jerusalem and Israel. We pray for peace for them. And Father, we pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as the Messiah. And this land of ours, Father, has grown so evil, so weary, Father, and has fallen so far down. I pray, Father, for this land and our government, those in those higher offices, Father, that are evil, that has brought all of this evil upon this land and its people. I pray for them to be removed from office, Father, and to be replaced by those that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love the church, love your people, and love this land. And will work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was created and founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for Kenny Powers. Dennis Lee. For Amy. Her husband Tom and her son Jacob. For James Taylor. For Bobby and Millie Johnson. For Sue Branson. For Deborah, Father. She stands in need of healing. For shingles, Father. That had even gotten in her eyes. And we know that by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, she is healed. Now, Father, bring her close to the Lord, her and her husband. Now, Father, my wife and all of those in the nursing home in Brandenburg, Father, and myself, all of our families, because we all have family members that are walking in darkness. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to work with each family and help by working with them and with us to lead them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that none be lost and all can be on their way of making heaven their home. Now, Father, you this evening, and tonight, keep us in health, keep us safe, and bring us all back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, all. Have a good night. Walk with God, He'll walk with you. Good evening, all.